everyone. Welcome to WD Carousel Podcast. My name is Ian.
And I'm Crystal.
And we're going to come back to you with our Discovering series because it's the only thing keeping me going right now. I keep saying that, but that's, you know, where I'm at.
Well, I mean, okay, so the parks will be opening up here fairly shortly. In less than a month time, by the time that we are going to post this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I personally feel like it's too soon. But that's just me. I am camp isolate until a vaccine or, you know, they've figured out what to do. So I will not be heading to the parks.
No.
During these next month or so.
Right.
But that's me.
Yep. It'll be a part of, like, half of me is real curious to see what happens. And then part of me is just like, just don't do it. So that's kind of where I'm at. But
so until then, we will keep going with our Discovering series because this is how we can go visit the parks in our brains.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I'm sure many of you are in the same boat. So, all right. So last time around, we talked about the castle courtyard area of Fantasyland, which was very dense.
Very dense, especially when you compare it to what we're going to talk about today, but a much smaller footprint. Whoa.
Yeah.
No idea where that came from. Moving on. So we'll be discussing the Enchanted Forest area and Storybook Circus.
Yes. Which are kind of both a part of an amalgamation of a restructuring of it and also like a different world that they just like tore down. So let's start right there and just kind of talk about a little bit of the backstory. We talked about a lot of the backstory of Fantasyland already, but this is kind of a separate deal. So basically it was about 2010 to 2014, things really started to close in 2010 that were part of the renovation / expansion. And then by 2014, the entire update had been completed.
Yeah, I have notes saying that it was 2012 that, you know, new Fantasyland was officially open, but probably it's partial. So, you know, replacing this, replacing that.
Right. So they tried to keep it actually like closed for a very short period of time, but it wasn't where it was today until about 2014. But yeah, go for it.
I was going to say, in fact, when they decided they were going to do this new Fantasyland thing, the first thing that they did is Disney had created this new website that was fully interactive, and that way you could learn backgrounds and stories to the point of where the backstory to these two new lands that we're going to discuss today is a little odd. So I'm just going to read you the press release on it.
Yeah.
And it says, once upon a time, we had a need for stories, and there was a wonderful land where these tales actually took place. But slowly our dreams of childhood went from wishing on a star to wishing we would grow up. And so we did. Seizing their chance, evil villains cursed the land by taking a symbol of each of the stories of our world. They stole a feather that helped an elephant believe in himself, a rose that taught a beast he could be loved, antlers that hung on a wall symbolizing the importance of humanity, and a trident that gave a young mermaid new dreams to stand on. With these symbols gone, the villains shrouded our memories and imagination. Yet this land does exist. It's been there all along, waiting for you to believe again so that tales as old as time can be told once more. Find your way through the lands and perhaps you can break the curse of new fantasy land.
So basically they're like, you guys weren't imagining hard enough before. lazy.
It's an interesting take on
it is
a new land and, you know, expanding a park, a much beloved park. And you know, giving the story a refresh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a tough, you know, when you take an area like Fantasyland, which is such a core, very core part of the Walt Disney World experience and the Disneyland experience and everywhere in the world, like, it's, you can't just be like, okay, and then it's updated and people are going to be like, you know, it's just ridiculous.
It makes sense.
Off
camera, it's like, what, achievement unlocked or something like that?
Achievement unlocked. Achievement unlocked. New lands unlocked. You imagined harder.
Yay!
Good job.
You got back in touch with your childhood innocence.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was their press release for why New Fantasyland was happening.
So yeah, so that's the in world, the canon story, as it were. Mm-hmm. In out here in the real world, the what they had done is they had taken, so like we said, probably mentioned before, they broke it into the Enchanted Forest and the Storybook Circus. Mm-hmm. Now, most of Storybook Circus, or all of Storybook Circus, was originally, that land was Toontown Fair, mm-hmm. Which was taken out. And so they either took rides that were there and demolished them and just started over, or they repurposed or rethemed other ride facilities and rides themselves to make them fit in the new format. They just kind of pivoted some theming and stuff, and they made that work. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah, and then the area that is the Enchanted Forest actually used to be all of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Mm.
So this whole area, when they closed 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, one of the original attractions, it actually closed, I believe, in 1994. Yes, 1994. It wasn't closed because it was not popular. In fact, it was a very popular attraction still. But they quote things like it could have been, you know, too hard to maintain. It could have been because it's not possible to be ADA compliant. You're heading down a small, very steep set of stairs into submarines. So they made the decision to close it. But that gave them all of this real estate to be able to unlock the Enchanted Forest for us.
Right. Wasn't it awfully expensive to maintain? Or did you already say that?
Yeah, I mean, when you're thinking about it, you know, it was a water feature. So not only do you have to maintain the, you know, stability of the stuff around it from being eroded away due to water, but then, you know, it actually was an underwater thing. So all of the stuff had to be visible, had to keep up with underwater painting and algae and, you know, debris that could fall in. Obviously, there were divers going in every night to clean it just in case of, you know, like pennies or a wrapper or something floating in.
Totally ruin the vibe. Yeah.
I mean, still exists in Disneyland, but it is the Nemo Adventure.
Yes. Yeah, they changed it.
So if you want to see what it was like, go to Disneyland.
The basic idea.
Yeah, but there are still like little nods that are around the Enchanted Forest area, giving, you know, paying homage to the original ride that was in that area. So
yeah,
kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, do we just want to kind of go into the space?
Oh, why not? Yeah, that always seems to work pretty well.
So if we leave the castle courtyard area, and this is not in an order that they were written down, you're going to start out with, on the left-hand side, there's Enchanted Tales with Belle. And Enchanted Tales with Belle is kind of a live, interactive story where you can go in, you walk into Maurice's house. In fact, if you look on the walls of Maurice's house, that's Belle's dad, you can kind of see marks on the wall showing Belle growing in her height marks.
Oh, fun.
Which is really kind of cute. But there you're able to do a full story of Belle and the Beast, and they'll choose you to play characters, some of the audience, and then Belle's there, and there's meet and greet after, and it's kind of sweet. It's been years since I've done it, so I don't know if anything has changed. But one of my favorite things about looking at it is the little sign for it. On top, there's a kind of statue of Lumiere, and there's a little windmill, and it makes Lumiere's arms move. Like, Maurice just decided to tinker as he does, and it was kind of cute.
Yeah, that is cute.
And then you cross over the bridge, and you actually go into the, what do they call that little square? Like, I think there's an actual proper name.
Is that Belle's village?
Yeah. So there's Gaston's Tavern. I believe that there's a store back there. Gaston's Tavern is known for their cinnamon rolls, huge cinnamon rolls, and then a drink called LeFou's Brew, which is basically like this apple cider slushy that they have a passion fruit foam on top of.
Oh,
really weird combo. Had them both.
Okay.
Really liked the cinnamon roll. It's huge. Just ask for extra icing. They'll give it to you. It's right. worth it. Okay. LeFou's brew, not really my cup of tea, but not too bad. You know, I just can't handle a lot of sweets. Also right. in that area is the Be Our Guest sit-down restaurant, which right. we've done right. A little bit of talking about before. It's mm-hmm. Quick service during lunch, but yep. breakfast and dinner. I know dinner is a sit-down with reservations needed. I believe breakfast needs reservations as well.
Right. So it's just lunch that's the counter service.
Yes, but you can use your quick service credit for a sit-down at it for breakfast.
Really?
If you're on the dining plan. That's what okay. I did on that one of those last trips that I did. I think okay. it was my birthday trip in October.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, because I'm not going to spend, you know, $25 right. for a donut. Right. Okay.
I honestly don't even think I've been back to that, like, Bell's Village area. Like, I actually don't know that I've actually been back there, which is weird.
Well, I guess I'm just going to have to take you when we go back.
No. Yeah,
eventually.
Eventually. All right, let's get those vaccines going, gang.
Yeah, and then you swing around from there. We're just kind of following the outer wall of the Enchanted Forest area, and that's where you run into the Little Mermaid area. You're gonna have the under the sea journey of the Little Mermaid ride, and it is an omni mover. It takes you through the story of the Little Mermaid. Obviously they have a mm-hmm. nice nod to the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Nautilus in the queue. It's like oh, cool. carved into the rocks. If you stand yeah. in a certain area, like all of the rocks like form into the shape of the Nautilus, which is kind of cool, which is the yeah. primary ship of 20,000 Leagues, if you're not familiar sure. with it. Yeah. Also, there is an area in Eric's castle, like the balcony, that looks like it's supported by octopus tentacles.
Oh, funny.
Nodding to Ursula a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's cool.
And then right next to it, there is the aerial meet and greet. And yep. Across the way, I am going to jump a little bit. Across from that is the DVC shopping area, but they have yeah, it yeah. under the guise of a cartography stand, okay. which I think is really neat because this is where they do the nod to H. Goff, Henry Goff, that we've talked sure. about before.
Yep. Yep,
and he was the main art director for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, as well as he did the early sketches to Disneyland. So right. it's nice that they gave a little nod to him as well.
Right, right.
And then do you want to take, if you come from Castle Courtyard and go to the right, which is where you're most familiar with?
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. To the right. So, well, sure. Okay.
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Like,
I know. You. Yeah, I gotcha. I just completely, like, couldn't picture where I was. Okay. So, with the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which I've only ridden once.
You did it with me, and I cried the whole time.
No, I didn't do it with you.
Oh, I thought we did.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think we did. I can't remember.
I don't know. Irrelevant at this time.
It's been so long. No.
it's been 16 years. Okay.
16 years. So it's the newest coaster at Disney, I think, still. We talked about this like super early on in the podcast about mm-hmm. this ride. You and I have very different experiences with it. For me, I didn't find it all that exciting.
Coasters.
Right. And I thought it was fine. It was real smooth. Like the actual like track action felt mm-hmm. very smooth to me. And the barrel thing was kind of cute. The thing I liked, the theming was actually pretty neat.
Yeah.
Cause you got the projection with the seven dwarves, and it was cool. I think that the problem that I run into with it is it's just a little too much hype for what you end up with, because there's some things where it's like, well, that was amazing, and this was like, yeah, that was a long wait for a, you know, it's bigger than a kiddie coaster, but it's not like a full coaster. It sort of lives in a halfway world where it's more intense than you'd probably want, Crystal, but it's like not so intense that it's like worth waiting in line for a roller coaster. You know what I mean?
No, like especially when it's at 2.5 hours for a wait, right, on average. And that was before, yeah, COVID was a thing. So,
right, right.
It's not, it's my favorite, and I wouldn't really wait in line for it like ever. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
The barrels that he's referring to are in the queue. They have a little bit more interactive of a queue, but it's not like crazy. But they have these barrels of diamonds that you can spin. And if you spin them all at once, you're going to, on the ceiling, because normally they're reflecting light and stuff, they form a picture of Snow White and the dwarves. And so that's kind of cool. There's also like this water feature thing where it's like spilling water down and you can like put your hands underneath it. Or I didn't get it.
Right.
But it's there. It's something to do. There.
Yep. Yep, it wasn't terrible.
And then there are some callbacks to that, to the once part of Fantasyland that is no longer there. Snow White Scary Adventures.
Scary Adventure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the vultures that you see on the top of the first lift hill that are staring down at you menacingly, they're originally from that ride, as well as the dwarfs that are dancing at the end in the little cottage with Snow White. They are from the original Snow White Scary Adventures in Magic Kingdom before it passed as well. So,
or are they like the actual animatronics?
Before it passed.
Okay. Before it passed the late Snow White's Scary Adventure. That's interesting. Yeah, because there's definitely a lot of stuff that they kind of swapped over where it's like the same IP or something. They just kind of shifted it, you know, to a
good new thing. They own that IP, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then across the way from that is Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, and Winnie the Pooh is like actually the ride that Snow White was in.
No.
No?
No,
Mr. Toad. No, that was Mr. Toad.
Yes. Thaddeus Toad.
Thaddeus Toad.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Wild Ride. Yes. Sorry, I'm tired.
It's okay. We're all running off of...
It's been a long day. I'm running on fumes.
Yeah.
So Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I think that one still scared me a little bit, to be honest. But moving on, that's...
Are you afraid of the Heffalumps and the Woozles?
I was when I was 5.
That's true.
I don't know that I've been on it since then, because I just, you know...
Yeah,
and there's usually kind of a wait for it. And I was like, this isn't worth it to me. but yeah, I'm sure it'd be a lot less scary now. Maybe.
It's
maybe
one of the ones that you can
bring back something.
Normally get like a rolling fourth fast pass on. That's what I normally end up doing. This is also one of the rides that I've gotten stuck on and had to do a walk off for. Take video on the walkthrough on the way out.
Not available. It never happened.
No, I would never do that. But they have like this little like walk around tree that you can go into if you are short and or nimble. And I guess inside there, because I'll never see inside, is another nod to the Nautilus. As well, which is kind of fun when you're on the ride.
It wasn't. That wasn't right. Because that was there at the same time as 20,000 Leagues, right?
There was a playground area that was there for Winnie the Pooh, but then when they actually closed down Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, they got rid of the playground as well.
Okay,
they might have retained the tree. I don't know.
Okay. I gotcha.
But I know that the silhouette of the Nautilus is inside the tree, near one of the exits, like above the little archway door that you can leave out.
Yeah.
But I love the little nod that it gives to Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, because when you enter Owl's house in the ride, on the right hand side, you're going to see a character from The Wind in the Willows or Mr. Toad's Wild Ride called Molly. He's getting a pot of honey from Pooh. And then the left hand side, you're going to see a picture of Mr. Toad actually handing the deed to the property. To Owl. So it's kind of cute. It's like, okay, I had my time. Here you go. You can have the next round.
Right. And did they update the queue for during that update or prior to?
No, they really updated the queue. So it's a very interactive queue. It allows kids to play with it. Like there's a part right up near the front that has these huge glass boards that look like honey is oozing down, but you can wipe away the honey and see characters underneath. I know there's other like little nuances that you can do through the queue, but since I only do fast pass on this bad boy, I'm not as familiar with them. So
yeah, there's some stuff that I'm just like, oh, I didn't know that was interactive, because I would never not fast pass it. Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm one of those people where unless it's, you know, a quick walkthrough, I don't do it unless there's a fast pass.
Right.
It sounds really hoity-toity. But, you know, when you go regularly, it's not like you need to see everything all at once. Do all the things.
Right.
So
right.
It's not it's not going to break my heart if I don't go on Winnie the Pooh when I'm there next.
It's not going to be the end of your fun.
And then the final attraction that we are including in the Enchanted Forest is the Mad Tea Party. Moved the teacups. And they moved them a little bit further out. They're in the walkway that you head towards Tomorrowland from Fantasyland. So you can, you know, have your little spinny dizzy adventure out there. They have topiaries. It's a covered. It's the first one of the teacups that was covered. So it doesn't matter if it's raining or what. I was going to say snowing, but this is snowing. Florida. Yeah. It doesn't happen. I mean, up here it happens, but not down there.
Right. I know. I used to love those. I think in like carnivals, that type of ride is called a scrambler, or that's what I've seen them called.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to love them. And I would probably throw up now, so I don't think I'll ever go on the Mad Tea Party again.
Well, we might have to, but we might not actually spin it, just so you can say that you did it.
Did it. That's true. Maybe. Yeah,
we'll just sit there. And the teacups, the doors are the original doors. And I got some hips. I'm not sure if you've seen me, but I have a hard time getting through that door if I don't have to like wiggle around. So just be prepared. It's not the thinnest of door or the widest of doors.
Interesting.
To get into your little teacup.
Like I said, if last time I was in there, I was probably like, you know, 5. So like that was not something I was even thinking about because I was 5.
And then we head to
the Storybook Circus, which is, you know, a storybook circus. It looks more carnival-y than
based on the circus. So you're going to get a lot of nods to Dumbo in there. Walt was obsessed with roadside carnivals, so this is where you get those feelings as well. Even when you're walking through the land, because there's not too much to do there, but you know, it's very detail oriented. So look down on the ground, you're going to find things like wagon tracks for where they were pulling the animals, horseshoe prints, banana peels, because you know, gorillas need bananas. So those are in the ground, as well as like peanuts and all that fun stuff. Don't worry, Ian, you're not going to die. It's not that kind of peanut. It's peanut. It's not a real peanut.
Fake peanut.
It's a fake peanut in the floor.
Yes. which kind of points out one of the two huge attractions, because like you said, there's not a lot in here.
Mm-hmm.
The most famous one is Dumbo the Flying Elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not sure works geographically, but I just brought it up. So,
I mean, they moved it over to Storybook Circus to make sense with the theming, as well as give it more space, because they originally had one round of elephants. So just like, you know, the magic carpets with Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
Here, when they moved it, they also extended it. So now there's two circles worth of elephants. Okay. And they have this huge, playground area, and it's the first area that we had an unofficial queue, so they give you like a buzzer, and so your kids can go play in the playground, which COVID, I'm not sure how that's gonna work, but they'll, and then you get buzzed when it's your return time, so you can go ahead and go on the ride. And so it's one of the first ones to have, you know, virtual queuing.
Virtual queuing, yeah.
Again, there they're going to have peanuts in the ground because, you know, Dumbo's known for peanuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my other favorite thing about the ride is that on the Fast Pass return, they have Dumbo's little feather as the hour marker.
Oh, yeah. Cute.
Little cute. Nods, little homages.
Yes, quite. That's very cool. Now, one of the smaller things, I mean, unless you want to steer, because like I can't picture anything right now for some reason, because Fantasyland is like, for me, literally Fantasyland is like a panicked blur for me every time I go into it. So like I don't remember anything where it is.
It's okay.
I need help.
So basically, you know, when you're in Storybook Circus, you walk into this main area and then it's kind of designed like a circle. So on the left-hand side, you're going to have the big shop.
Right.
Okay. Which also, you know, they have, you know, it's Big Top Souvenirs, but they also have Storybook Treats inside of it. It's a huge shopping area. It's kind of, it's not as big as the Emporium, but it's pretty dang close. It's the second biggest shopping area in Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Next to that, then you're going to have Pete Silly's Sideshow, which does the character meet and greets for four of the Fab Five.
Okay.
No, of the Fab Six. Sorry.
Fab Six, yes.
Well, you know, because Pluto is part of the Fab Five, but Daisy is number six. So, sorry. A little bit on that. But there, and then you come around, and then you're going to have the Casey's Splash Pad. The Casey Jr. Splash and Soak.
Yeah.
which has animals in their train cart carriers, but it's a water pad to let kids play with. One of the fun things about that is that each of the cars, because there's four cars with different animals in them, but each car is numbered with the year that a park was opened at WDW. Oh,
cool. Yeah.
So you're going to have, you know, 71, 81, and all the way down. Mm-hmm. And then there is a nearby snack stand that's numbered 55, just to give, nod to Disneyland over here.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Very neat.
And then you get to the train station. Behind that is the bathrooms. That's also attached to the train station queue for the drop off of that big loop. But that's currently closed because construction. And then continuing around the circle, there's the Barnstormer.
Right.
Which I still haven't gone on.
Yeah, and I haven't been on it in 1,000 years. So the last time I was on it was before Storybook Circus existed. So this was back when it was still Toontown Fair, which we'll probably talk about in some other episode. But they basically took, it was like Goofy's Wild Acre Farm, you know, Barnstormer, and now they've had to pivot it because now the whole theming is different. So before it was Toontown, it was like a, you know, wooded, you know, or like a like a farm. Mm-hmm. Now they had to make it like a sideshow thing. So he's the Great Goofini. So it's like he's doing like stunt stuff, which is a little goofy, but yeah, you know,
it's a little goofy. It's a little goofy. It's a big goofy. Thank you. This is supposedly, now, like I said, I've never been on this one, but this is supposedly the most mellow of all of the roller coasters in Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't had the opportunity to do it.
When I was young and I did it, I remember it being pretty exciting. But again, I was pretty young. So, but I know like at the time, like you go through the barn and it was cool because it was the first time I did a coaster where I had both a coaster and kind of some Disney theming. And that was like one of my earliest memories of doing a coaster.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a cool experience.
That is lovely.
Yes. Some anecdotal stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you work your way around to complete the circle and that's where Dumbo is.
Right.
So it's just basically you walk in, there's this big signage across the top saying, you know, you are entering Storybook Circus, and it has a whole bunch of advertisements, and Big Top Souvenirs has obviously a lot of posters with theming that reflect either movies that are topical to the theme or the characters that they have made, like the Great Goofini, to be more fitting to the theme.
Right.
And right. It's a very small area, easily overlooked. And yes. It's not really one that you're going to find a lot of adults at without children, because you know, you're talking about Dumbo, you're talking about a splash pad, and you're talking about the lamest coaster on property, as said by the person who doesn't do coasters.
I feel it.
So you're not going to be like, oh yeah, we're going to hang out over there.
Right. Exactly. My favorite spot.
Yeah. And there's not even like a dining area in there. I mean, you can get like carameled apples from Storybook Treats.
Treats, sure.
You know, Big Top souvenirs. There's shopping. Like I said, it's the second biggest shopping area in the park, but it's not anything spectacular. Like inside of that shopping area, they have like tightrope and trapeze along the ceiling to keep with the theming. It's supposed to be like you're in the old style Big Top circus sensations. Even checkout areas are meant to be like vintage train cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is Disney. We're really good at theming.
Yes. Yes, yes.
But
absolutely.
Let's get to the other stuff that I missed while we did our walkabout. But that's okay. The basic layout of New Fantasyland.
Yes.
So all right. I missed Bonjour! Village Gifts.
With an exclamation point. that's a gift shop, right?
Yeah, that one's located in the area that is near Gaston's Tavern and the, you know, Beauty and the Beast themed area. There's actually a painting inside that is of Phil Holmes, which was a Disney exec. And the fun thing about that painting, even though it looks like an 18th century writer, there are like hints of other movies. Like there's a magic lamp in there. There's an apple in there for like Snow White. There's a map of the original Magic Kingdom.
Oh, cool.
There's some peanuts for Dumbo, that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So you can check that out. I've never seen Prince Eric's Village Market, so I don't know what's in there. I can't tell you. I'm wondering if it's next to the DVC booth, and I like walked as far around it as possible, like kiosks in a mall, because I don't want to be harassed to buy more DVC points because I want to, but I don't have the money right now.
it's too easy for them to suck you in.
Oh.
Gotta make a wide berth. Mm-hmm. Don't want to see it.
And then the 100 Acre Goods is at the exit.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. It has, you know, Winnie the Pooh theme stuff.
Right. Right.
I normally just kind of cut through that as I'm leaving.
Leaving.
Because I don't need a stuffy.
of Winnie the Pooh.
Any of the characters. I don't need a stuffy of any of the characters.
No.
Food-wise, we've touched on Be Our Guest. We've touched on Gaston's Tavern. Again, Prince Eric's Village Market. I don't know what's there. So if you've been there, let us know. Because I have no idea.
Maybe it's great and no one goes there.
Cheshire Cat Cafe is down near the Mad Hatter. It's kind of near that shortcut walkway to get from the castle courtyard to Tomorrowland. And they have really delicious cattail pastries, as well as they do some slushies and stuff too.
Nice.
So that one's really tasty. And then the meet and greets in the area.
Right.
So
there's quite a few.
Yeah.
As there would be, I suppose. So right away, and this is across a couple of different areas, right? I mean,
Got... They have them fairly spread out.
So kind of over by Little Mermaid, they've got, of course, Ariel
in her grotto.
In her grotto, quite indeed. And then so now the one for Merida,
that's near the Cheshire Cat Cafe.
Okay.
It's on the end of that little walkway, that little cut through walkway.
Okay. Does she have her own little zone that's kind of themed out?
It's really built up and full of like plaid.
Love it.
And, you know, woven tapestries that are themed. Right. And it's kind of neat. But you queue up along that walkway from the castle courtyard. So yeah. if you see a bunch of people just sitting there in line, that's what they're waiting for, because it's right at the corner exit.
Okay. Okay. And now, and then Gaston, I'm assuming, is going to be over near in Bell's Village area.
Yeah. With near Gaston's tavern, depending on how, you know, shaded it is.
Sure.
They
sure.
might have is that like slightly.
A, and so he doesn't have like a special spot. He's just kind of around over there.
So there's this armpit that when you pass Gaston Gaston's tavern, I think there's a bathroom up there too. Okay. But there is just it looks like the village keeps going a little bit. And it's around that area that they kind of have him float depending on the sun exposure.
Dry levels and sun exposure. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. But he's a fun one to do, because if you like challenge him to like a push-up contest or something like that, the character actors actually like play back, and they are more than happy to like woo women and, you know, show off their brawn, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
So that the Gaston actors get to have fun with it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's cool. Cool. Pete Silly Sideshow, what? I don't know anything about that.
So Pete Silly Sideshow is the one that, like I said, is right next to Big Top Souvenirs. That's the one where you're going to find Minnie, Daisy, Donald, and Goofy.
Okay.
So like I said, not the Fab Five, because Daisy's technically not the Fab Five. She's number six. But like Daisy, I think, is a psychic, a palm reader. Goofy is like, and they have these like little vignette areas, and so you get to choose one side and you get to see two characters. So you can choose the girl side or the boy side.
Okay.
And so if you're going to the boy side, I believe they have like one of those bike cages where, you know, in the circus they would have someone on a motorcycle driving around inside of a cage. They have half of one of those behind Goofy, and he's in a biker uniform. Like one of those stunt uniforms.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember all of the different things. I think, like I said, I think Daisy is a psychic, so there's like palm reading and that sort of stuff. I think Minnie trains her poodles.
Sure.
And so she has like trophies and like little homages to her poodles that she's trained and did so well with. And then I think, don't quote me on this, but I think Donald's a magician.
Sure. That sounds right.
So you can meet two characters at once, and then it feeds you into Big Top Souvenirs, and you can go back and do the other two if you would like.
Okay. I gotcha.
But just like Princess Hall, it's a way to meet a couple characters at the same time.
Sure, sure. And then with Winnie the Pooh, that's just over by the ride, right? Or they have a little area.
Yeah, but I've only really seen them when they do like Halloween parties and special events. Okay. So I'm not sure if they actually have a meet and greet for regular.
Okay.
But if you're interested, look in that general area. There is on the other side of the tree. So on the left side of the tree, if you're looking at it, there is an area that is perfect for a meet and greet. On the right side is the entrance to the ride. And so if you want to see if they're there, go ahead, check the app, that sort of stuff. I'm sure it's available.
Sure. Sure. Very cool.
And that is New Fantasyland.
Fantasyland, which, is still got quite a few things, but it's not not the Castle Courtyard. That was dense.
So we will get in touch with you next in 2 weeks again for Tomorrowland, wrapping up the Discovering the Magic Kingdom series, which is exciting. But this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.